Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ricky Waters, on this or that. Bettis, Tim Brown,
I got
Rick
it.
Meyer.
I got it.
Come on.
Lost in the natty this
Come
past
on.
Year. I got it. Will and Marin.
I like Riley Leonard.
Favorite manager or coach rant. What do you got, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I definitely got to say it's obvious it goes to the playoffs with Jim Mora. But my favorite rant of all time that when I first saw it, it just kind of like hit my soul different. It was like a father walking into a room and just destroying all of his sons. It was Augie Garrido when he comes in. He's like, since you guys will all be fine with this in about 15 minutes, I'm just going to bleep and sum it up for you. And just absolutely goes off. It's one of the best baseball rants, coach rants of all time. Texas baseball coach. There'll never be another Augie Garrido.
The legend.
He's one of the best. And,
yeah,
and, they absolutely, and the craziest part about that game is that they won 10 straight after that. So it was just amazing. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Will. I mean, there's a lot of really good ones out there.
There's some great ones.
And why we're before I get into that, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We got into this or that because you started talking about how you need a little bit of fire from
yes.
the Giants.
And, yes.
and specifically, I mean, when things are going poorly, it falls on the manager and Bob Melvin. It does not seem to be in Bob Melvin's nature to do something like that. Not that he has to go Tommy Lasorda and curse out a reporter, but it does seem like the Giants could use some kind of spark, and if it's not working on the field, you got to do something off the field to try to jumpstart this team.
Do you believe in creative tension?
Yeah.
There's an element. There's a couple of guys that I grew up playing with that they almost can't play at their best unless they get into it with someone. There's just some, like, I'm not saying everyone's that way,
yeah.
but there are certain guys who are that way. For a while, the Shasky family was, we would have to yell at each other, and then all of a sudden we're like 100% locked in. Forget the other team. We're like literally to fight each other, and then we're locked in. There are certain players, teams that I've been a part of. Bonds Kent. I think about it all the time. 2002, they're in the dugout, middle of August or whatever it was, and they got into it. And they're like grabbing each other and going back and forth. And, you know, I believe in certain levels of creative tension in the heat of the moment.
Sometimes you need, like, I know a lot of people are going to think or say, like, well, you're being paid millions of dollars. You're in the big leagues. There's a lot in the line no matter what. But sometimes you need, like, that extra oomph
yeah.
to really get you going. And I personally, I don't know exactly where it should come from, but I personally was a little upset. Obviously, the game itself is frustrating enough. They're not scoring runs, and when they do, they're not scoring enough. And when they have a lead late, it's the one time the bullpen slips up. The entire season is when they have a lead late, and they're in the middle of this terrible slump. But I was a little frustrated watching just the looks on everybody's face. Like, they panned the dugout, the TV broadcast did, once the game ended. Giants lose 3-2. They blow a 2-0 lead in the ninth. They lose in 10, 3-2. And it's their second straight loss. They've lost 7 of 10. They've lost 9 of 14. And it just pans to the dugout. It was like Patrick Bailey, and it might have been Yaz and somebody else standing top step, leaning on the rail at the very front of the dugout. And there's just no emotion, expressionless, staring out into the field, like not shocked that it happened, but like you could tell there was disappointment. But I needed someone to just like turn around, throw something on the sprint back into the club. I just need somebody to unload a little bit, not just emotionless. I need something.
You know what this feels like for the Giants right now? It feels a lot like where the Warriors were at midseason, where they would blow these leads, and after a while, it just became almost like, okay.
It almost felt like they were powerless to it.
Exactly. How is it going to happen tonight? Like, yeah. I remember the feeling after the Toronto game, they just felt very lifeless.
Those back-to-back blowout losses at home, Kings and Heat.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
It felt like that, those moments where it's just
resigned
like,
to like, well.
What are we going to do? Exactly. We're not a good hitting team. What do you expect? No, you're better than this.
Yes, and this goes back to the jolt where I feel like they need a jolt right now, whether that's via trade, some fighting. I don't even know what it is. I really don't. What would Draymond do in this situation?
Oh,
he
would get ejected, and then post game he would pull somebody or multiple somebodies aside and light into them.
Yes, I would agree. And they don't really have that element.
He'd go to the manager or the coach and say, "Hey, you got to do something."
Yeah, I agree. What would the Niners do in this situation?
Oof. I can't get a good read on Shanahan in these kind of situations. Oftentimes, it feels like when things go wrong, they tend to spiral with the Niners.
Like the Devondre Campbell last year, like it really ticked me off that Nick Bosa heard him complaining in pregame and then like basically admitted, yeah, I just didn't do anything. It's like, dude, you're one of the highest paid players ever in Niner history. Go over and be a leader and like shut him up, calm him down, do something, talk to him. You know, like if Fred Warner knew about it, I'm sure he would have done something. You know, there was an element of like they can't even police themselves. Like that was telling for last year. And I think that you needed to kind of gut the roster a little to get out some of the bad apples.
It's also different in a football team than a baseball team. You feel like in a football team, you probably rely on your players, at least a team like the Niners, you rely on your players and your leaders to kind of do a lot of that
self-police work. Yes.
As opposed to Shanahan or someone on the coaching staff or John Lynch or whatever it is doing.
Yeah, I'm not asking Chris Kocurek to fire up the guys.
But it's a little different in baseball. Maybe it's just specific to the Giants because they don't necessarily have that guy who demands that respect from everybody in the clubhouse or who acts that way naturally.
You know what I'm thinking about now while you're saying this? While you're saying it's just like epiphany. During a loss or after the loss, the Tim Tebow conversation where he went crazy and was like, no one's going to work harder. No one's going to pull this team together. Like, that was an inflection point for that Florida team, was it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. You don't I think a lot of us, like, we've played all these rants, right? It's Lasorda yelling at a reporter. It's Mike Gundy upset at a reporter. It's Singletary calling out Vernon Davis.
It's leadership.
You don't necessarily need to, like, we're not talking about, Bob, I need you to just absolutely rip Willy Adames a new one.
Exactly.
Like, it's not just that. It could be someone who's playing really well. It could be Elliot Ramos, who goes up to the podium or in the locker room and he's being asked questions, and he says, you know what? Like, I'm sick and tired of scoring two runs a game. I hit a home run today. You know what? Guess what? It doesn't matter. I didn't come through in the 10th with a runner on third and one out. I am going to do everything in my freaking power to never let that happen again. And because everyone else is struggling, I'm going to lead the way. I am going to right this ship. It's something as simple as that. You don't have to yell at somebody else to fire a team up.
No.
You can bring people under your wing. And maybe it is on someone like Elliot Ramos, despite being young, to take that leadership role on. Because if you're asking me who's the most promising young guy that you have on this team, it is Elliot Ramos.
Yeah, and he's the guy who didn't execute last night with a runner on third.
Who is the leader of this team?
He did hit the ball hard, though. What's that?
Who is the leader of this team?
Probably Chapman. Logan
Webb?
Yeah, but
the fact that we don't have an easy answer is a problem, isn't it?
Yes, they don't have an alpha. Like, who's their alpha?
They don't have an alpha.
Like,
you're right.
The Warriors, when they made the trade for Jimmy, wasn't it like, we need to get another alpha in here with Steph? And kind of instantaneously, whether he played like an alpha in terms of ball domination on the court, you could get a sense of like, oh, this is a star. Like, this is a guy who's used to being one of the most covered players in a particular region. Did you not get that sense from Jimmy?
Yes.
I don't get that sense from Willy Adames. Not, and I don't think that he has to be that, but when you pay a guy that much money, like Aaron Judge, he knows what it's like to be the captain.
Yeah.
Even Giancarlo Stanton, to a lesser degree, knows what it's like to be the high-priced dude in both Florida and, you know, Miami and up in New York. Clearly, there's levels to the scrutiny. The Miami market is not going to scrutinize you the way that they will up there. Garrett Cole, you know, he's used to being, you know, under the fire. I think Aaron Boone, you know, playing for the Yankees and being the head coach, he's used to the scrutiny and all that. I look at this team and I'm like, a lot of these guys aren't ready for the big limelight and being the dude, right? Like, now Purdy's going to have to go through that as the 49er quarterback. And I guess when you're the quarterback, it's kind of always on you.
Yeah.
But it is different when you sign the big money.
Expectations and pressure and scrutiny changes.
Big time, right?
No doubt.
Big time. And so...
But it would be different if... I guess that the Purdy one is a little different conversation because he had a lot of success with the Niners before signing a
no
big
doubt.
Deal.
No but, doubt. He has equity.
But for Adames, you signed the big deal. It's your introduction to the fan base.
Yeah.
And through 2 months, you're hitting 200. Kind of difficult to then say, well, Willie, you have to lead the team emotionally, even though you're not performing anywhere near your standard.
No.
That feels like a tough ask.
Well, and I think the difference between him and Chapman, even though Chapman similarly was a new guy, Chapman came on a one-year deal. Chapman played in the market for multiple years. There's recognition of who Matt Chapman is if you've just been casually paying attention to baseball in this market. So he had a little more equity built in with the fan base than where Adames is. A lot of these guys that sign, and I think of like these random guys who had no equity with the Giants before they signed here for big money, Denard Span, Johnny Cueto.
Jeff Samardzija.
Aaron Rowan.
Yep.
Barry Zito, a lot of them were met with a lot of hostility within year one. Within year one from this fan base.
I mean, Blake Snell.
Blake Snell's a good one. Blake Snell's a really good one.
Yeah.
So
and
I even, think,
I mean, the lesser degree, Jorge Soler. And
he
sucked and was traded at the trade deadline.
Hanniger's a
money-saving move.
Hanniger's a local guy, and we were pissed off at him.
And those were contracts nowhere near as big as this Adames one is.
No, God, he's just going to have a hard time justifying the amount of money in years that he's getting right now. He's just, they're in a rough spot with him, man. Like, they need him and Chapman to play better. When you invest $300 million into that side of the infield, you can't be, you know, almost 20 combined errors. And what do they got? I don't know, maybe 13 home runs combined and like a 220 batting average combined?
Yeah. It's not. I mean, right now, Chapman's hitting 236. And Adames is hitting 203. Chapman's numbers aren't like that far off from what he has done at times
he's
in the past.
He's walking a lot.
I mean, he's a career 241 hitter, Chapman. He's hitting 236.
Slightly below league average the last couple years.
But we got used to the second half of the season, Chapman, last year. Chapman went through a real struggle early last year,
and
too.
He was red hot.
And then, like, final 3 months of the year, he could not make an out.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of got conditioned to expecting that from Chapman. But Chapman is also dealing with the added pressure and expectation that's on him because his shortstop is underperforming. And you're like, well, if that guy's underperforming, Chapman, it's on you. You got to step up. You're the next, like, you know, biggest contract, biggest name guy. You got to step up. But because Adames isn't doing it, it makes it a little more difficult. So, all right. Time for a break. Morning Roast here on 95. Yeah, what's up?
Something happened on Brandon Ayuk's IG yesterday, and I kind of know what's going on, but I kind of don't know what's going on, and I need some of the younger people at the station to explain to me, like, I don't know anything about social media. What the hell is going on with Brandon Ayuk?
All right.
Online.
We'll find out when we come back. That's what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast, Shasky and Grandy. I'm in for Spadoni. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
They blew a 2-0 lead in the ninth inning last night. They've scored two runs this series versus the Padres. Plenty of frustration there, but I know you're also, I don't know if frustrated is the right word. You're confused about something else. Brandon Ayuk, what's going on?
I open up social media in general, and everyone that I know that follows the 49ers is posting either a screenshot or things about Brandon Ayuk's Instagram account.
Okay.
And so I'm like, all right, well, let me take a look at what's going on over there. And so for the YouTube audience, we printed out screenshots of what he's posting on his story for Instagram. And look, you might say, hey, Joe, why do you care what's being posted? Well, I care because the people that cover the team are talking about it. Fans are talking about it. My buddies are talking about it. And I'm on social media, and maybe you're not. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you're not on social media and you don't care whatsoever. But I think a lot of us do care. Maybe I shouldn't let it bother me, but for whatever reason, it does. I just shake my head.
And in today's day and age, athletes do a lot through social media, whether it's negotiating or whatever.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Now, my wife is not on social media, and so she'll always be like, why do you care? Well, I care because it's my job, and I also care because I use social media as a tool and a way to keep in touch with family.
Yeah.
It's both. So I go to Brandon Ayuk's Instagram, and the first thing that he has posted is a screenshot of T.O. in the driveway as I'm holding it up on the YouTube camera. For those that are driving, it's T.O., in the driveway when he was an Eagle, shirt off, doing sit-ups with, I don't know, 15 or 20 people from the media with microphones in his face.
And also just random people standing around him.
Very odd.
Do you know the context to this? So I can share it with you.
Of why?
Of this T.O. picture.
You don't think I know what T.O. was doing? But let's say it for the audience that wasn't out there.
In August of 2005, T.O. was looking for a new contract with the Eagles. Andy Reid suspended him after the two got into an argument at Eagles training camp. That same day, T.O. then started doing a workout on his driveway in New Jersey and was starting answering questions shirtless while doing setups. T.O. ultimately only played 7 games that year, was suspended by the Eagles, released in March, and then signed with the Cowboys.
This moment was a moment when ESPN, ESPN News, PTI, it was all of it all at once, because the reaction to this was how, like, it would kind of foreshadow the way we are now within modern media. No, I'm serious.
Classic T.O.
And that's what T.O. was. I mean, he pushed things forward. So Ayuk posts this T.O. thing, and I'm thinking, what?
Knowing full well what it means.
What does it mean? How would you interpret this?
I don't know. That signifies that there's some kind of disconnect or rift between the team that he's currently under contract for. I mean, that's what T.O. was dealing with.
You're probably right. I was like, why would you post that?
No, that's a great question.
You know, like, that's what I silly to me thought. And I was like, what's going on here? So then you hit the story part of it, right? And so that's the first
There's
part.
There's more?
Yeah, the second part. It's a picture of what looks like him turning the camera at himself. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to turn it around and show those that are on. It's a selfie photo like my dad was taking a FaceTime with me and my kid. And it says, y'all cry baby ass divas, be killing the vibes on IG. What is IG? IG is Instagram Live. So that's the title. He wrote that. Y'all cry baby ass divas, be killing the vibes on IG. SMH, which means shaking my head. Huh? It gotta be an age limit on hating. If you 30 years old, just post your kids and STFU. So again,
STFU means shut the bleep up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the laymans that are out there that maybe aren't on social media or don't understand, he posted a selfie and then is basically saying what with his caption?
He's basically saying stop being upset at me. Stop hating on me.
And what's the part about being 30 and older? What does that mean?
I don't know. If you're older or mature, you shouldn't care about things like this.
Okay.
49ers. They're shambles.
Like Steiny.
But like, okay. So there's a bunch of things that they're like my head when I see this. I'm like, what is going on with you, Brandon? Like, what's going on? Now clearly the team and him, from the second the negotiation started, at whatever the end of the Super Bowl was, maybe he felt like he wasn't involved in the Super Bowl enough. I'm not really sure. But from that moment all the way to now, it's been a nightmare. Not a roller coaster, a nightmare. When it comes to Ayuk, the Niners, their handling of him, keeping him, whatever. I am so exhausted. Dude, you hurt your knee. It sucks. I'm pulling for you to come back. Everybody is feeling pretty good about the Niners right now in terms of, like, everyone's on the same page. Yeah. Let's go. And you're out here posting T.O. stuff, which tells me, like, you're asking to get, like, deactivated? Or you're posting things about the fans being mad at you? Last I checked, when you were on a field before the injury, you're arguing with Shanahan on a Friday about the shorts you wear at practice after you got paid $80 million guaranteed. Like, what? What? And then, like, that's the first thought I think of. Then the second thought I think of is, and this is just in general, my view of social media. If you're going to run an anonymous account, do whatever you want. You want to be a troll, fine, whatever. If not, you're a public person. And again, I'm smallest rung of public person. I don't pretend like I'm on some high esteemed ladder. I'm a nobody. But the way I view social media, and I've evolved to this, anything I put out into the world on social media is how I want whoever would be watching, looking, viewing my page with zero context. I am telling them how I want to be perceived.
Yeah.
So on Instagram, it's a lot of photos. For me, I put out sports and family. That's what I want people to know, like, of me, of Joe Shasky, sports and family. I don't post opinions a lot. I don't post politics. I don't post things that I've deemed to be controversial. Because I want people to see, like, the real me. And, like, you've gotten a chance to know me a little. I'm pretty sports and family oriented. Yeah. Like that, if you boiled me down to me, I don't post a lot of me at church and things like that because I don't want to trigger people. I want people like, hey, you believe in this religion or you believe in that. I don't want to alienate those. I don't post anything when it comes to politics. Now, are there things that I want for my city or for my community, or are there things that I rant and rave about regarding like frustrations within my, yeah, from time to time on Twitter. But I know that when people look at my page, it's going to be all those things. When I go to Brandon Ayuk's page, and again, he's younger than me, he's got one where he's like his last post on May 4th. He's in a car, and then the very next thing is he's got a bunch of money coming out, and he's holding all the money. And that's fine. Look, I'm not triggered by that, but some people would be like, what? Why are you posting that? And he's only got 7 or 8 posts, and one of them is of his wife, which is very sweet. So I think in general, my suggestion to young people who are on Instagram, whether you're a high school athlete, a non-high school athlete, an eighth grade student, whatever, what you post is going to be perceived by people who don't know you, right? There's a kid, a young man who I just told this week, I said, hey, when you wear the hoodie, okay, and you're looking down and you put the cryptic posts up with, you know, rap music that's swearing, you want it to be interpreted a certain way, whether you like it or not. That's how people are viewing it. And you're a good kid. Is that what you want to be viewed as? I'm asking. And he's like, wow, I didn't think of it like that. I'm like, well, that's how somebody who's in their 40s views it. And so, like, I just, the whole Ayuk thing, what is he doing? Where is he getting his suggestions from? Is there anyone in his circle, his agent, his family, is somebody who could tell him, like, dude, less is more right now. Don't post anything. I don't want to hear anything about whatever you're doing unless it's like team oriented, rehab oriented, or like maybe your family or stuff.
He also posted this comment on his YouTube channel the other day.
Okay, I didn't even know this.
He said, quote, they want to play cool now, like sad emoji, two laughing face emojis. Nah, F no, I want that smoke still.
What? Like,
I don't know what any of this means.
What good is going to happen?
The bottom,
for him right
you
now?
Put out something like that, or the TO thing, or the other comment telling people 30 years or older to not hate or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, even if you are in a situation like, say, George Kittle, who like has never like veered away from being beloved by the Niners fan base, Ayuk has veered away from that because of what happened last offseason, last summer, through the negotiations. And then he had a rough beginning to the season, and then he got hurt. And getting hurt is a separate thing. But everything else kind of caused him to go down a different road in the minds of Niners fans, I think. No matter, though, where you are in terms of like the fandom's love for you, if you're putting anything out there that can be realistically interpreted like in a number of different ways, how is that possibly anything but bad for you? Like, it does not matter if your intentions are fine, your intentions are pure, but you put up something that's questionable and can be interpreted a different way. Like, maybe, I don't know, you could find a reason to post T.O. doing what he did. I don't know, T.O.'s his favorite receiver growing up, and he's working out, and he wants, whatever, you can make up an excuse. But the bottom line is, you know how it's going to be interpreted. It's going to be interpreted as, ooh, that was when T.O. was in a rift with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He got out of there and then signed with the Cowboys and had some good years there. That's how people are going to interpret it. And if that is not, if it is your intention, okay, fine, whatever. If it's not your intention, what is the benefit of posting anything that can be interpreted in any kind of negative way?
There's nothing good that can come out of it. Are we the two old guys that don't understand what the young people are going through? So like my niece right now, right? Like she's going away to college, and you know, I'm sure she has a close friend's Instagram story that's very different from her other one, but it's very curated because she knows college could look at it, potential basketball opportunities for her or career opportunities or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's probably learned the hard way through trial and error, and she's 18 years old. And, you know, but what she puts out there, like, I would say, you know, I approve it. Now, some other girls of her age, like, I've seen her friends that she showed us some of the stuff. They put out things that are a little more, how do I put this? To tough for a father and a mother to view their child put out,
got it.
Boy or girl, right? Whether they're doing things that are borderline or not. And her thing is like, wow, everyone's seeing it. Now, these are 18-year-olds. It's worse. Ayuk is a professional, and he's a little older. Now, there's an element of like, hey, live your life. Do what you want. KD's allowed to respond to whoever he wants, however he wants. Sure. But that's also why KD isn't as beloved all around the world by everyone, because of the attitude and because of the responding. So I think there's consequences when you do this. You could do it, and you could do whatever you want. It's a free country. But don't forget, there are consequences of perception and how people have a first impression of you. That is real. And as someone that had a first impression throughout life, of I was that knucklehead that didn't graduate high school and was the idiot that got arrested multiple times and people's families didn't want to be around me. I had a lot of uphill climbing to have them shake that first impression. And it took years, if not decades of hard work for them to view me a different way. And part of that was me curating my own Instagram and social media a certain way so that they would view me as a family man and a good dude.
To answer your question, I don't feel like old dude yelling at cloud, not understanding social media. I'm on the younger side. I feel like I understand how social media works and how athletes use it. I mean, but are we overreacting? 888-957-9570. Is this not a big deal? Like, I can't imagine Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he doesn't actively go on there and see it, I would imagine, but people are telling him about it. I can't imagine Kyle Shanahan is told that Ayuk posted that picture of Terrell Owens and feels all right about it.
No, but I would also say to you this. It's not like the Niners haven't handled this publicly, like, in a great way. To be fair, let me take Ayuk's perspective for just a second.
Look, it's during like contract years stuff like this happens. Brandy, he just signed a gigantic deal.
I know, but
that he's not going to live up to.
Brandy, all the big media people with any knowledge are like, the Niners, they didn't want to trade Ayuk. Like, where are they getting that? I guess is what I'm saying. And if you are in this partnership where you want to do right by the player, you don't leak it that, you want this guy out there. So I think there is a little bit of this from Ayuk's perspective. I can understand why he feels scorned. But this is where you got to take the high road, right? You got to take the high road and not respond to those.
I don't get how he can feel scorned.
What do you mean? When Tim Kawakami comes onto this station and says, I think they want him to feel the heat of they dangled him out there as a trade. And
he got the contract that he wanted.
Yeah, but you don't want to hear your employer. Like, if I heard that Matt was dangling me to another station, right, then that would hurt me.
Good business.
But I'm being real. It would hurt me. But I would also have the perspective as a little bit older who's lived a little, and I have people in my circle. They would tell me, like, yeah, you saying anything on that would probably make it worse. And so that's why I'm like, Brandon, you're making the whole situation worse.
I don't think the Niners have like much tolerance, if any tolerance, for this kind of stuff. You heard what Kyle Shanahan said the other week at OTAs about how last offseason, coming off of the Super Bowl loss, he felt like he had to beg everybody to show up for like offseason stuff. And then this season he was asked like about how this offseason feels different than last offseason. He talked about like how the vibe of the team feels like back and improved. And a lot of that has to do with, handling the Purdy contract early and giving Kittle and Warner extensions. I feel like Kyle Shanahan, having come off of a really rough year last year, a 6-11 season, where everything was a failure, and there's failure, plenty of blame to go around, up and down the roster, up and down the coaching staff, up and down the front office, plenty of blame to go around. And Shanahan had to deal with that, not through, his fault. He deserves some of the blame for that. But they had to deal with that entire failure of a season. And then you get to an offseason where you say, all right, how are we going to improve and be better and not be 6-11 again? And step one is to avoid the offseason drama that bled into last year for them. And they see something like this, I don't think they're going to take it lightly. This, I guarantee you, pisses Kyle Shanahan.
Do you think he's played his last down for the Niners, or is that too extreme?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you think he's played his last down for the Niners?
No,
or is that
I think that's too extreme.
Okay.
I think that's too extreme. I think it's impossible to trade him with that contract and the injury that he's on right now.
Somebody's got to get to him who loves him and say, Brandon, just less is more. Nobody needs to hear this right now. You're doing yourself, if you want to stay with the Niners, you're not doing anything that you should be doing right now. Take the high road. You less is more. You know, there's just no point.
Yeah, I'm with you. We can get back to this.
I'm sorry. It frustrates me.
You're good. We can get back to this in a sec if you want, but I do have some news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
This comes courtesy of Alex Pavlovich. Big roster shakeup for the Giants.
What?
Not a trade. Don't worry. Lamont Wade Jr. and Sam Huff were DFA'd. Christian Koss was optioned. Dominic Smith was signed and will be on the active roster tonight. Outfielder Daniel Johnson and catcher Andrew Knisner were called up from AAA.
Oh,
so, back end
Wade.
Of the roster changes. Lamont Wade, Sam Huff, that's so they opening day first baseman, and backup catcher were DFA'd. Christian Koss, infielder, pinch runner, optioned.
Dominic Brown, ex-Philly. Matt's on the phone right now. Look him up. Ex-Philly outfielder. I believe at one point was a higher prospect for them. Hasn't really lived up to it. What was he? Philly Met? I mean, he's bounced around a little, hasn't he?
I will check for you. I do remember him on the Phillies. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. But he's all off the top of my head.
Is this the right Dominic Brown? This Dominic Brown hasn't played in the big since 2015. That can't possibly be the right.
Oh, so it's not that one. Okay.
It can't be the right Dominic Brown.
Okay. So this is somebody else.
I have no idea who the other Dominic Brown is.
Look, Lamont Wade Jr. was a nice Giant. You know, he had a great year. They probably squeezed the lemon for every single drop on him. I wish him well.
I don't know if there's another Dominic Brown.
Is it Dominic Smith? Do we have the names wrong?
Oh, it's Dominic Smith. You're right. Sorry.
So, the Met, the guy who only played for the Mets.
Dominic Smith, let's see. We've got former first-round pick of the New York Mets in 2013.
There you go.
He last played with a couple of teams last year, Boston and Cincinnati.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
93 total games last year, batted 233, 6 home runs, 34 RBIs.
Gotcha.
I don't know where I got Dominic Brown from.
That's okay.
Dominic Smith signed, outfielder Daniel Johnson and catcher Andrew Knisner called up from AAA.
I mean,
those are the moves.
They don't have a first baseman. Is Eldridge like a week in AAA and right up? I mean, seriously.
Or are they just, is Casey Schmidt the everyday first baseman for a while now?
I mean, wow. Just pull up Schmidt's at-bats real quick. Just.
Dominic Smith plays first base, who they just signed.
I thought he was also an outfielder. Maybe I'm wrong. So they're going to have him. He's in,
defensively, he's played some outfield in his career, but the majority has been at first base.
So
420 games at first base, 182 in left.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess they're going to give him a shot there. That's kind of surprising.
Career 246 hitter.
Yeah, this is a Band-Aid, not a you know, full surgery. Wouldn't you agree? This
yes.
is nothing that's
no.
going to...
He was not in their system. They signed him.
Yeah.
He was a free agent. He was just out there.
Christian
has
Koss,
not played this year.
And Christian Koss is down. So, I mean, this is just... this is not big enough. This isn't enough. This is a Band-Aid for right now on a gunshot wound. That is first base.
I mean, it does at least, I don't know, does it send a message?
To what?
Lamont Wade.
I do not think Farhan would have DFA'd Lamont. That's what I would say, if you're asking me about that. I do not think he would.
Yeah, this is not, he's out of options, didn't send him down to AAA. He's got to clear through waivers, then the Giants could get him back if they want. But
I think Bryce is coming up soon. That's what this tells me.
Well, I do think,
right? Like, this tells me Bryce is like, a week or two in AAA. This isn't big enough.
Okay, let me play for you what Buster, this was with Willard and Dibbs, I think in February, before the season.
And I told you, backup catcher's still going to be, to me, that is a trade, like, acquisition, not necessarily to replace Bailey, to supplement it. Great examples last night, they had to pinch run for Bailey. Like, there's going to be times you want to pinch hit for him and have that guy just play catcher at the end of the game. They need to get a situational catcher in here at some point. Doesn't have to be a glove first guy, but a better hitter than whatever Bailey is currently. Yeah.
And by the way, from the 415 asking, what does DFA mean? Designate for assignment. It is not sending somebody down to your minor league squad.
They have to accept said assignment, or they outright become a free agent.
And I would imagine Lamont is probably going to...
Who was the other guy that got DFA'd and didn't accept the assignment recently with the Giants? But basically, you become a free agent, and then you
go through a waivers process.
Yes.
If a team claims you, then they have your rights. If not, then you could come back to the Giants if they wanted you back. But
well,
by DFAing, the Giants are saying we're not scared to lose him
at all, which they shouldn't be. And then Daniel Johnson.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We're seeing here on the 707 is a Vallejo guy, 29 years old, played for the Guardians at one point, Baltimore Orioles. So, local guy, let's pull for him. Let's see what he's got. Basically, he's got 4 home runs, 5 RBIs, and a 200 batting average in his big league career.
I know that this Dominic Smith and everybody else that is now a Giant does not matter a whole lot. Like, you don't expect these guys to come in and tear the cover off the ball and turn the season around.
How they brought in Lamont Wade.
You wanted Lamont Wade off the team. You wanted no more Lamont Wade at bats.
We were done with him.
Like, this is at least a step showing that the team is willing to make a decision like that. You and I might not think it was a very difficult decision, but they made the decision, and I think we can all agree, considering how Lamont has played, considering the way that he's moved, like this feels like the decision that had to be made. And you give him credit for making the decision.
Absolutely. But these are three back of the roster guys, and then you're bringing in three new guys who.
Well, realistically,
really
what could they do in it today?
Not much. But at least it's a sign that they're going to do something. Farhan loved to tinker with one slot on the back end of the rotation. On the back end of the depth chart, it was like he was a day trader. I mean, it would drive me completely insane. This is a big enough move, though. This is a shakeup.
Yeah, let me read this again. So, big roster shakeup. Lamont Wade Jr., Sam Huff, DFA'd, that's designated for assignment. Christian Koss was optioned. Dominic Smith, first baseman, left fielder, was signed and will be on the active roster tonight. Had played 10 AAA games this year, but was a free agent. Outfielder Daniel Johnson and catcher Andrew Knisner, I might be mispronouncing his last name there, were called up from AAA.
So what does Lamont Wade represent?
He represents someone that the Giants thought was an answer, a short-term answer at first base, and now they don't have a short-term answer at first base.
Does he represent anything when it comes to Farhan? Because I do believe when they moved off Slater, it was like, oh, finally. That we didn't like Slater, not that he couldn't have moments, it's just what he, like, the avatar of what he represented.
He represented one of Farhan's dumpster diving guys who turned out to be better than anyone else expected.
But then he turned back into a pumpkin.
But not good enough to really make much of a difference.
Exactly. I've used the analogy.
And today, this year, terrible, made a negative difference.
Absolutely. I think he was traded for Sean Anderson, the flowing long hair guy with Minnesota. But they, like, Yastrzemski to a lesser degree than Lamont Wade represents the same thing.
Iroh was the same.
They're avatars for just good enough to stymie other people that I'd rather see. Like, I like Gary Payton II. I feel we over-elevated him. And at times...
You sound like Ty Jerome over Moses Moody is what that sounds like.
But even Ty Jerome put to the side. Like, Gary Payton is just good enough to frustrate you to where he's not good enough to be, you know, stymieing young players that we had hope for and we drafted. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see Moody. But you're always like, but GP2's just a little better right now. And you're right, he is. But it overall hurt the development of a younger player that you had more promise for. And you could always justify each game. Yeah, but Gary's just a little better right now. And I feel like that's kind of what Yaz is and Lamont was for so long. Like a Matos right now. A lot of people who like Matos, they're frustrated. Like, play Matos. He's not better than Yaz. So every day you can make the argument, yeah, Yaz a little better. But then you look up and you're like, we've been doing this thing for Matos for 2 years where you're not giving him the three straight weeks that he needs. You get what I'm going with this?
Yeah, no, I hear you. But,
and so
I mean,
Yaz is better, but it's what they represent, which is blocking the development of a plane of someone else, but it's like you're not winning anything of significance with Yaz.
Lamont Wade also represented like Farhan's like very, very identifiable and like very true. This was his skill. It was going and finding somebody who everybody else valued as nothing and like actually like he had an eye for finding undervalued players
sure.
and having them come in and actually produce a little bit.
Sure.
But you're right. Maybe it would block guys at times. For me, in my opinion, I just feel like you play whoever you think is your best guy, and if your best guy happened to be a guy that the Orioles thought was a nobody and you acquired and he turned out to be decent, like I don't have a problem with that if he's your best guy.
No doubt.
But the issue the Giants fell into, and I think what got Farhan in trouble was he was far too comfortable using 3-4 starting spots for guys like that.
Yeah.
Who were worth nothing, and yeah, great find. They came in and were better than anyone could have expected. But those should be one starter, two starters at most. Guys coming off of your bench, not guys that we're having to look at and play every single day.
No
like
doubt.
Like five of them.
No doubt. Oh, gosh. I'm...
So you really think that this means Bryce Eldridge is coming up sooner
in the next couple weeks,
later?
Yeah.
Okay, let me play
That's
this for you.
That's what that feels like to me.
Let me
I
play
really
this
do.
For you. Buster Posey.
Hear me out. I'm going to let you play that in a second. If they thought first base was that big of a hole and Bryce was that far away or couldn't be better than whoever they could go, I think they would have made a trade. I do. I think they would have.
It's hard to make it. I hear you, but it's hard to make a trade now. When opposing teams will just say.
No, I think they would have made a trade for I think they would have made a trade for a AAA player who's like, let's say, 29, 30, 31 years old, stashed him in AAA, and then elevated that guy with a subsequent move like this. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, I guess. I do think, though, this move might also signify that. I also think what Buster said yesterday kind of signifies a change in philosophy for the Giants. Here's Buster Posey in February on this station with Willard and Dibbs when asked if there's a chance that Bryce Eldridge makes his debut this year. Again, this is Buster Posey February before this season, right before spring training. Here's Buster on Eldridge maybe debuting this year.
I think our preference would be for him to get another year under his belt and get reps in both offensively and defensively, but you never say never. You know, I mean, I don't think any of us would be disappointed if he forced our hand, if it came to that at some point in the year. But internally, you know, talking with Randy Wang, Kyle Haynes, and player development, we were all on the same page that we want to make sure he's as developed and prepared as he can be so that again, he can have a long and very successful career.
Okay, so that's one Buster answer on the Eldridge question. And it's essentially, ideally, we want him to have a full year in the minors again. If he hits 30 home runs and is hitting 400 and he tears the cover off the ball and he forces our hand, yeah, okay, that's one thing. But we want to make sure he's totally ready for the big leagues. That was in February. Yesterday, pregame, Buster Posey asked essentially the same question after he gets elevated to AAA. And Buster Posey says, quote, "I still think for Bryce it's best to get reps, but again, things change. We'll continue to have conversations and watch his progress." He continued, quote, "We most definitely want to put him in a position to succeed, but yeah, ultimately the goal is to win games at the big league level." Wow. I don't know how you interpret that, Shasky, but that feels to me like an entirely different mindset. In February, it was he has to be ready,
yes.
And until he's ready, we're not calling him up. He might prove to us that he's ready sooner than we expect, but until he's ready, he's not coming up. Yesterday from Buster Posey, it was we have no answer at first base, and the second that he becomes the guy that we think gives us the best shot to help us win, he will come up. Whether he is ready or not, whether we think he's going to field great and hit 250 or better, whenever we think he is our best first baseman at the big leagues, he will be called up. I think that is a very dramatic shift in philosophy that we heard from Buster yesterday.
I think your point about what's going on at first base is extremely important. Like right now, because of necessity, who's learning on the fly at first base?
Casey Schmidt.
That tells you everything you need to know about their depth in the minor league system at that position.
Now, he does have a better fielding background, Casey Schmidt does.
Oh, there's no doubt. But first base is extremely unique
different
to the other positions.
Yes.
But no, I'm a big kid. His defense is unbelievable. I'm talking Casey Schmidt. I love his arm. I think his arm's better than Chapman's. But that's a different conversation. These opportunities, things happen that you can't predict. You might have a plan, and then the season happens. Case in point, do you remember why Brandon Belt first came up in 2011?
I don't remember why, but he debuted and hit a home run that first series.
I remember why. Aubrey Huff was in the worst slump of all time and literally went missing.
Didn't Belt debut in 2011 on the opening day team?
No. He didn't come up till later. Lubby. He came up immediately because of injuries, because Huff was hurt.
Oh, Huff was hurt.
And then went down.
Okay.
All right. And then came back. Lubby.
What's going on here?
What? You just go Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Yeah, my final thought is this. Brandon Belt, because of the whole Huff thing, remember they tried to Huff in left field at one point?
Yeah.
He was mentally just all out of the place. They started up because of injuries. And then went back down. And then why'd he come back up? They wanted him to play the whole year in the minors. He came back up because Huff was awful. And that was the beginning of the downfall of Harvey Huff. That's a whole other story for another day.
And Belt had a really rough year.
He did. Well, he was awesome in spring training. Remember, they had this thing called The Franchise. Remember that show?
Yeah.
And it was like debuting it, sit on down and have a beer with me. And then, they threw him a beer, and him and Brandon, you made the team, kid. You're coming on up. But again, because of necessity, these things happen.
Belt was never as big of a prospect as Bryce was.
No. Was he a second or a fifth round pick?
I don't remember.
Crawford was like a fourth round pick, I want to say.
My final thought is I hope you're at least in the short term, hope you're ready for a lot of Casey Schmidt at first base. He's your everyday first baseman, I think, for now. Get used to it. I mean, maybe Bryce comes up in a couple weeks, but
Belt drafted in the fifth round,
out of Texas.
Yes. He was a closer, too, for Texas every now and then.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, final thought. What do you got for us?
My final thought is, man, how locked in on that Stanley Cup Finals are we going to be? Oilers and Panthers in the rematch starting tonight. Oh, man, as the Panthers won last year, will the Oilers get revenge? Probably not. I think the Panthers are going to repeat. I'm going to go Panthers in six.
Give me Connor McDavid and the Oilers.
Would be cool to see the Cup go to Canada, but Panthers just playing so locked in right now.
Have you ever skated in your life?
Ice skated?
Yeah,
not for hockey, but like at an ice skating rink. Sure.
It's hard.
I'm not good at it.
Skating's hard.
Probably haven't done it in like 15 years.
You ever tried to skate backwards on ice?
I could hardly go forward.
I know.
I've never skated on ice. I skated on those like plasticky square things.
Yeah, not the same. Carter, what do you got? Final thought?
And that was like when I was like 10.
Wait, what's a plasticky square thing?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, my final thought is we got some NBA news. I don't know if Matt told you. I came in here to try to tell him. But the Phoenix Suns just hired their head coach. Jordan Ott, Cavaliers assistant, was hired this morning as the Phoenix Suns head coach. So the first of a plethora of jobs in the NBA has fallen.
Who's going to be the Knicks head coach?
I thought it was Jaden Ott was the running back that was leaving Cal.
A sad story. Don't get me started on that.
Is it, though?
The Ottoman Empire.
Dude, he was their best player. Somebody yeah, it's clothes. A sad story.
Cal's when basically they, a feeder program now.
When they blew that, I mean, Sam, I know it's Miami. But when they blew that game to Miami, oh, God.
I was there.
Who's going to be? Is
nicest day ever.
Is Jay Wright going to coach the Knicks? Are they just going to get the whole Villanova band back together?
Bring DiVincenzo back?
Jay Wright, Villanova coach to the Knicks?
Is that what's going on?
I mean, probably not, but I don't know. It's where my mind goes. Is Mike Malone going to get a job this cycle?
That's who I pick.
Start a new dynasty?
No, no, no.
I
hate Mike Malone, right?
Like all the last like six coach of the years have been fired.
You know why I hate Mike
Malone? Why do you hate Mike Malone?
Because after winning one title, he was talking like, we're going to be a dynasty. And dog, you won one. Shut up. I said it the day after he was talking dynasty over and over and over again. Mike Malone.
Former Warriors assistant, former Kings head coach.
I know some people that work for the Nuggets. They all thought that. It's kind of sad.
Also what? Former Nuggets.
That they were going to be a dynasty.
Win two.
We gotta go.
Begin the conversation.
We gotta go. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Steiny and Guru are next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk tomorrow on the Morning Roast.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.